Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
What must people think?
Hello and welcome to this breaking news episode of What Most People Think. So the Gorton and Denton by-election has happened. It's done. People of Gorton and Denton, you were famous for weeks and now you've got to get back in your box. But I tell you what, the way you voted will go down in history because the Labour Party, who could we could beat reform here, did not beat reform there and someone else did. So that's kind of tricky, isn't it, for Keir Starmer? Yeah. Is there a letter somewhere wilting gently? But yeah, maybe Keir Starmer. He also visited the constituency, which is a sign, I think, that they thought they might win. And Starmer wanted to kind of bask in the afterglow a little bit. But that didn't really work out. So I was just thinking, is there other stuff that Keir Starmer could visit to kind of put the kibosh on it? Maybe when the Australian cricket team come in next summer, could you pay them a little visit, Keir? Could you as well? And that football team in Buckinghamshire that stole my club. Anyway, we're going to pick through all of that. I'm going to talk about the Green Party. Stunning victory, really, you know, but also, you know, these allegations that were circulating about family voting and voting and duress and, you know, also what this all means for the main parties. I mean, the Tories lost their deposit as well. I mean, losing your deposit it's just kind of embarrassing, isn't it? I know that the Tories were never in the running there, you know, and that won't necessarily be the picture elsewhere. I don't know. Maybe, hopefully not. But losing your deposit, it's a bit like, I was just wondering if there's a comedian's equivalent, like if there's a level of occupancy, like if you do the Edinburgh Festival. I mean, actually, there fucking is an equivalent of that because you have a venue guarantee, i.e. if you don't sell enough tickets, you then have to pay out of your own pocket. I think I might have had to do that once. Thinking maybe 2009, you stump up all the money for all the promo and then you have to write them a fucking check at the end of it. You're paying money for the privilege of having done something for a month, which literally depressed you. So yeah, we'll talk about all that stuff. Response to a previous episode, very good feedback for Milo Edwards' debut, which is great. I really rate him, man. He's a really interesting comic. And we're, next time he's on, we'll unpack his history because as in the patron-only section, people would have known that he started doing comedy in Russia and got very famous in Russia. So we'll definitely have him back. Some people took issue in a good-natured way with his assertion that Reform want everyone in Britain to be white. I mean, I think I did counter that a bit in the moment, but I would also say that we're comics, you know? We exaggerate. Hyperbole is our thing. And there's probably been many comics and many left-wing listeners that have sat there while I've said various things about, you know, left-wingers, they've got no sense of money. You know what I mean? They just want to tax people more. You know, like they're lazy. They don't get their podcasts up on time. So, you know, I would just add into it that hyperbole is a part of what we do. And to that end, I also got some feedback about my take on the John Davidson BAFTA N-word thing, where I said, but you know, and I took on board what people were saying. I wasn't saying that he should have left because what he said was the N-word. I was saying that personally, I might have, you know, I would just, the fear of what would happen in that sort of situation with an audience of millions might have meant that I didn't go. But what I didn't realise was that it was his film about his life. So of course he's got to be there. Do you know what I mean? Of course he's got to be there. And when I was talking about, it interrupting the jokes, that's just pure selfishness as a comic and somebody that worked on a script. I would say this, do you know what I mean? If I'm at a tour show and somebody does anything, even if somebody was like having a fucking mild choking fit, I'd be like, for fuck's sake, really? So I'm not in any sense saying that what I was saying there was reasonable, but it was a fascinating cultural moment. And particularly, I mean, I was sort of proud of the UK because broadly speaking, bar a few fucking political commentators who really let themselves down. There was quite a cool reaction here. People were grown-ups, but the amount of people from the US that were saying, I accept what Tourette's is, but... You go, no, you either do or you don't. Okay, piss take prices. We've got a couple here. Somebody messaged me before the show last night in High Wycombe and was moaning about the venue was £7. Fuck, that would be a piss take price. £7.15 a pint. So I did the sums, and it seems that the top end in the southeast is about £6.50, but with venues they tend to be a bit more expensive. But yeah, I accept it was the higher end. But what I didn't find out was it a fancy beer? Was it a fancy bit? And you know the problem with comedy audiences now? You lot don't drink much. When I used to do the jongler circuit back in the day, they would do their sums on a 5-drink average for people. I promoted a gig not maybe actually about a decade ago nearby. I ran the gig, I did the bar and everything. And we sort of were hoping people would have 4 drinks. And do you know how many they had? 1.4 on average. 1.4. So I realise I'm victim blaming here, but I'm sorry that the pint was £7.15, but I hope you agree it was a fun show. I also got Liz messaging me saying about the price of food in the EU. So she lives in Ireland, where a box of Cheerios is, Jesus Christ, £7.19. That's not very cheery, is it? Cheery nose. Cheerios, fucking... Jesus Christ, fucking the Cheerios there, £7. €7, fucking €7.19, fuck, I'm losing my Dublin accent. And that is versus £3.80, €7 versus £3.80. I'm sorry, Liz, what can I say? Come and live in the UK, Liz, you know? We might not have access to the single market, but we do have access to cheap Cheerios. Cheap and Cheerios. New patrons, welcome of board member, Ben Kelly. Welcome to the board. We haven't had one for a while. So if you want to be on the board, you just upgrade to VIP and then increase your pledge to £20. But here's what you get if you're a board. You get the very first shout for tickets, guest list, all that stuff. But you also get... Now you get both my books signed and sent to where you fucking live. So all you do is automatically go to Patreon, join the VIP tier, and then make your pledge £20 a month. I will see that, and then I'll send you a book. So Ben, if you could send me your address, I will send that to you. Also, you can tell me what inscription you want. Now, David Jones has also joined the Patreon. David Jones, I mean, God, fucking... I must have known about 5 David Jones, you know... You should have like little letters by David Jones, A, B, C, DJ. I suppose DJ, I would call myself, whatever your, yeah, just call yourself DJ. That is your stag do name. Kieran Andrews. I think I met Kieran. Did I meet you? Signing a book at one of the gigs. Welcome to the Patreon, Kieran Andrews. You sound like a rugby player. You sound like a fly half. Is that a fly? I don't know rugby. I'm sorry. All I do know is that England have been fucking letting us down. I thought we were supposed to absolutely smash Scotland. Embarrassing, mate. It's embarrassing. Blokes always say that about sport, don't they? Even though they're not involved with it. It's fucking embarrassing. And then I've got a person who hasn't given me their real name, which is that person up north. I'm going to guess, obviously you work in a woke institution. I'm going to guess that you do PR for the Green Party. And it's good money. You've probably overcharged them because they're all fucking middle-class mugs. There you go. There's a bit of hyperbole and stereotyping. So you probably overcharge them and you have to hear their bullshit all of the time. You have to hear all their stuff about progressive shit that you don't agree with. And so what you do is you join this Patreon, you sit there with one little earbud in, and this is your revenge. The thank you for the gig so far this week. Where did I do? Cheltenham on Wednesday, unbelievable atmosphere. Last night, High Wycombe Thursday, genuinely. I'll say it again. The next tour is unlikely to be as funny as this one. So come to this tour show because I've got Maidenhead on Saturday, but that's sold out. But then I've got Leamington Spa on Sunday. So I've upgraded to the big room there and it's pretty busy, but there's still room for a few more. Just a reminder of some gigs coming up, extra shows that we added not so long ago. We got Crew coming up. We've got Shrewsbury, Red Roof in Cornwall. You asked me a lot about that, about Cornwall Day. It's in there. Taunton is nearly sold out. Hedge End is nearly sold out. Belfast has kicked on now. Thank you very much to all the people that bought tickets in Belfast. Get in there quick if you want to come to that one. Worcester, Folkestone's nearly sold out. Peterborough, there's tickets. Solihull is a new one. Solihull. Coventry as well. That's been a bit slow off the mark, but it's starting to move. Portsmouth, a first tour show there for quite a while. Winchester, not so far away. Yeah, in an ideal world, wouldn't put those dates back to back on consecutive days. Ilkley. I'm back in Ilkley. That's a long old way, Ilkley. Come on, we can do better than what's currently on the board, right? Lancaster, The Stand, an afternoon show, I think, at The Stand on Saturday, the 18th of April. I think both the Norwich dates have sold out now. Brighton on Monday the 4th of May, a little bank holiday treat for yourself. Get down to Brighton. And then Leicester Square Theatre, the 4th London date of the tour. That is on the 28th of November. That's at 3:30. So here's what you can do, right? Leicester Square Theatre. You can have yourself a nice time with the missus. Come into or the mister, you know, come into town. Either have lunch, then come at the show, you know, or like come in, have a couple of drinks, come to my show, have an early dinner, and then get on the smash, and you'll still be in bed in time at the hotel for match of the day. Can't say any fairer than that. The fuck you. I'm renewing my son's passport. Do you ever start an admin task and you just from minute one, you go, this is never going to be easy. I can tell it's never going to be easy. So like we wanted to do the check and send with the post office, right? Every time we went there, they were just shut in. Didn't have the thing, didn't work. Do you know what I mean? Like we went to several post offices. This didn't work. Eventually we did it at the post office and it got sent. Then it come back saying that my son's photo had a shadow on it. And then we had to go and do it somewhere else. We send that in. And then now they want proof of parentage as the dad. Do you know what I mean? Like fucking, for, you know what I mean? Just you're going into dark areas there, mate. Do you know what I mean? What's this fucking Jeremy Kyle DNA test results? And yeah, we sent it off and it's just, you know, I've just got to the point where I don't think it's going to be okay. And they say, and the thing is with this organisation, they've got everything wrong so far. They say, send us, I've got to send him his birth certificate. And they say, oh, it's fine, we'll send it back. Fucking will you? This is the thing about the post office. It's just killing itself, isn't it? It's just immolating itself, just holding on to our letters. Are they trying to get us to the point where is it a bit like the NHS, where it becomes so shit that we go, look, let's just pay more and let the private sector do it?
What must people think?
Slightly controversial sentiment to end on, but you know, as with anything in this podcast, if you want to come back on it, whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com, patrons can contact me through the site. But now we're going to get into it about the Gorton and Dalton, fucking Dubai election last night.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
All right, let's start off with the result itself. So, percentage-wise, it was the Green Party on 40.7% of the vote. I mean, I was way wrong about that. I went online not long before and said, there's no way they'll get even, you know, because they were saying the top end of their vote would be like 38%. And I was like, no. But the good thing about political commentary is that being repeatedly wrong about stuff is no barrier to entry. They got 40.7. Reform quite a long way back, 28.7%. That was at the absolute bottom end of what they were predicted. I think there was about 4,000 votes in it. Then Labour on 25.4%, quite significantly back from Reform even, a long way off. The Greens, I think they were on less than 10,000. And this was for a seat, one of their top 10 safest seats they've held since fucking, I don't know, like Battle of Hastings or whatever. And then the Tories on 1.9%, which is like way lower than what, I mean, they got 8% at the last election. They were predicted 4% and they got 1.9%. And the Lib Dems, let's just spare a little thought for the Lib Dems here, who once upon a time would have been the protest vote. And this is part of their problem, wasn't it? They got 70 odd seats and have done fucking very, very little with it, you know? So Reform, you know, they had a chance in Caerphilly, didn't win there. They had a chance here, didn't win here. So, you know, firstly, you've got to look at what this means for Starmer. You know, let's just remind ourselves that Starmer blocked Andy Burnham from running And I know that a lot of his allies were going, well, you know, there was nothing else Keir Starmer could have done. This was a shrewd strategic move. I get that he had his reasons, but equally, it was always going to end up at this point too. So you don't allow Burnham in because he might become leader or he might challenge your leadership. But now, you know, people are even more people are challenging your fucking leadership. I guess it was fucked either way the moment Burnham started manoeuvring. Keir Starmer visited Gorton and Denton, which, like I say, you know, I think they thought they had chances there. They had the old Trevor Francis chances. And the official strategy. They got a lot of piss taken out of them for saying that only Labour could beat reform here. And it's just not true. Like, literally, if you just open... You know, like when you do a screenshot of a photo, it was like they'd taken the poll and just trimmed out green on the side. And it's an old Lib Dem tactic, right? But it's just ridiculous. Everyone knows that the Greens could win there. And who was their candidate? I mean, we'll get onto the reform candidate in a minute, but it was Alexandra Stugia. I mean, you kind of go, right, we're not going to give Andy Burnham a shout. And you think you might rustle up a little, you know, like one of those transfers that a club bring in to sort of sell names on the back of shirts. I don't think it was quite that. And you look at reform. They're going to say that this is not a bad result for them. You know, there's some kind of truth. You know, this was, what, 400th on their list. And they got a massive increase in their vote. If you look at the right-wing vote there, you know, it's only, what, 1.9% for the Tories. So even if they'd have taken all of the Tories' vote, they still wouldn't have won. But... it just does feel, it must feel a bit deflating for them. They went all out on this. And, you know, I had questions about Matt Goodwin as a candidate. I mean, the gap between them and the Greens suggested that maybe, you know, it wouldn't have made any difference. But I don't know, you know, were there people that stayed with Labour that found Matt Goodwin a bit distasteful? You know, I don't know. And maybe there were people just who mobilised towards the Greens once they felt that that was the best chance of reform not winning. But... you know, it was a painful defeat for Matt Goodwin. You know, he'd been parachuted in. I know he had history in the area, but he was a relatively high profile parliamentary candidate for them, and they've got their own gripes about the evening. So as the votes are being counted, so after the polls closed, there was an organisation called Democracy Volunteers. Oh, I haven't heard of, right? But you don't have to do much searching to see that they're an organisation that's been around for 10 years and, you know, a non-partisan group that are, I think, associated with the Electoral Commission that keep an eye on democracy, right? Because I guess if you have rules about what should happen at ballot booth, you know, at polling stations, someone needs to fucking keep an eye on it, right? I don't know if this is a... like I said, I'm recording this, it's now 5 to 11. I don't know. This story is still sort of circulating. I don't know if there's an official relationship there, but they said that there was... they'd noted family voting there. So this is the idea that when people get to the polling station, it's quite clear. And I would imagine in most cases, they're talking about the father or the patriarch directing people in the family who to vote for, and the inference and the expectation being that this was largely from people in the South Asian community and the Muslim community in particular. And the inference there is that this might have affected the Green vote. And it's kind of funny because immediately, like I say, I'd like to know more about this, but immediately you see the defensiveness from people on the left, I guess Green Party voters, but other people as well. You know, who are these people? Who, you know, like, I mean, you don't have to Google far to find out who they are. It's whether or not you accept it. You know, they gave some fairly clear stats about what they'd observed. But you also say, well, this is the group of people on the left that one, not that long ago, if you talk about the inference of patriarchal enforcement from men to either women or younger members of their family about who to vote for, that should be their fucking home ground, mate. That should be, this is wrong, but they've moved on. They're fighting other cultural fights. Like, you should at least be curious about look, I would say this, I'm not sure that it meaningfully would have changed the outcome much based on the numbers that they suggested. But that doesn't mean that this isn't something that needs to be taken seriously and looked into.
What most people think.
So, you know, one of the things that you look at is, like, did reform have the ground game. They talk about that, don't they? You know, about like political parties that have been around for a while. This is why the Lib Dems often overperform and why the Tories, you know, might... Yeah, I mean, Tories didn't really fight this seat in particular, did they? But why reform, you know, why the Tories might do better. Mate, you might sound clutch at scores. Who fucking knows, right? But they did they have the ground game, you know? It was interesting to note that of all these, you know, there are other parties on the right now. There's the Restore UK thing, the Rupert Lowe thing, and there's the Advance Party from Ben Habib. It's just too many, lads, too many. And they got, like, even less than the Tories, this Advance Party. Having said that, just a quick sort of tangent. Rupert Lowe, you know, some of his policy announcements recently have been on very much the hard right side, but he did do a tweet recently about earphones and about people playing music on public transport. Now, being Rupert Lowe, I'm sure he said that they should be fucking shipped off to Alcatraz and flogged or something like that. But my God, I was like, Jesus Christ, that's the first Restore UK thing. You know what? Any party that advocated for the ritual flogging of people that play music out of their phones on trains, I'm going to listen. But yeah, reform, you know, in the end, you know, I guess they're still learning how to be a sort of electoral force, about how you mobilise your vote, you know. And the Greens did. The Greens did. And their candidate in the end was a shrewd choice. You know, when she speaks, she's quite pleasant, you know what I mean? How do you put this? She was quite telegenic. I think that's the thing that they say in the industry when they can't bring themselves to say someone's good looking. And, you know, like a lot of their content online that got mocked, it was all kind of like, hey, fun. Well, we'll get to the other stuff. But there was one side, this, and in a way, this is like the kind of dichotomy in the Green Party. There's the fluffy kind of let's all dance around a boombox to fucking cool music stuff. And then there's the other things. Polanski, I've got to say, the guy's fluent in interviews. You know, for all I think he's a bit of a melt or whatever, but like he, when he gives answers, he speaks fluently. He seems to believe in what he's saying. And here's the thing that I do like about him is he doesn't go on forever. You know, he kind of has a point, he gets to the point, and then he finishes with it. I mean, maybe this is because I do a radio show, but that you know, you've got a sense of where it's going. He gets to his point and he doesn't stick around there too long. And you can absolutely see, you know, you can absolutely see with young people turning to the Green Party, why they would, like, if they feel a bit of despair that when it comes to fucking, you know, student loans, you know, or the fact that there's a triple lock, you know, various bits of intergenerational unfairness. But I do think equally, you know, people have worried so much about young men and the hard right and the far right. People have got to look at, like, where the left could go, where the populist left could go, because we'll get now to the other side of the Green Party campaign, which was, you know, heavily focused on international affairs. There was that campaign video of them that showed Starmer meeting Modi as a reason not to vote for Starmer. You know, what are you getting at here? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, look, we did focus on Iraq once as an election, but the scale of the focus on Gaza is like nothing we've ever seen in British politics. And they are playing into, you know, so squarely into the Muslim vote in certain areas, which one I think means there's only so many places that they can do this. But it is a kind of, it's a brand new thing in British politics. And I do think, you know, their candidate, what's her name, Hannah Spencer, like there is this weird alliance in the Green Party electoral coalition, isn't there? You know, on the one hand, there's Hannah Spencer, literally optically, she's everything, right? Of one side of the Green Party politics. And on the other side, because of their stance on Gaza, they've attracted, you know, a lot of Muslim vote and a lot of more conservative and Muslims. You sort of think, how does that fucking work? You know, how does that work in meetings? Where does that sort of end up? Because there's, on the one hand, very progressive beliefs that might not be shared in the other community. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch unfold. You know, but equally, you know, a lot of parties have electoral coalitions to hold that they don't really know what to do with. To a lesser extent, I think the Tories in 2019 kind of ended up a little bit with that, didn't they? Post-Brexit, then Boris was popping up north, and then they were like, all these Northerners have come to my house. Red Wall, isn't it? Yes. Do you want a pint? Do you want a pint? What do you want? What do you people drink?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Just a brief extra bit on the Tories there lost their deposit. That's just embarrassing, isn't it? You lost your deposit, I do think that there were particular circumstances that made it difficult for them here, but it does beg the question of where are they going? You know, where are they going? Like Kemi, there's no doubt everyone's, even like her critics are acknowledging that she's doing a better job of being leader and holding the government to account. But is that a separate thing from the Conservative brand even? You know, she had a good week in a way. There was going back a few days. She was on, what was it? She was on GMTV. This is how fucking old I am now. It's probably not been called GMTV. Good morning, GMB, TV AM and Diamond, is it? Hey, Nick and Martin Frizzell, you know, like, who's the ginger for? Anyway, one for David Domain. Greasy. Now I literally like sound like Ron Manager. Greasy, was it? Sitting on the sofa with Anne Diamond. And have I got ADHD, by the way my brain's jumping around? Anyway, what the fuck was I talking about? So yeah, Kemi was sitting there. She was talking about student loans. And then, right, so she's talking to Ed Balls. You're already thinking, oh yeah, okay. Okay, Mr. Yvette Cooper, yeah, let's see how this goes. And then out of shot comes Martin Lewis just storming in like a fucking WWE wrestler that heard his name mentioned. Boom, boom. Okay, man, he starts off not good. Not a good look for him. You know, I don't want to sound woke myself, but two men shouting at a woman, one of them standing up. It's like you do have to think about optics a little bit. And in fairness to Martin Lewis, I do think it was really funny the way that he apologised. He said, you're talking over me. And he went, I'm sorry. But he sort of said it like still angry as an accusation. I thought, you know what, overall, though, I didn't mind it as an exchange once he'd calmed down, you know, because she was, I was really impressed with the way that she kept her composure. Because that on live telly, you're kind of going, right, here's Martin Lewis and he's popping off at me. And I know that the British public have a fucking bizarre relationship with Martin Lewis, a bit like the relationship with Paddington, that fucking sellout, like irrational love. Same with Attenborough to an extent. I'm sorry, but it's true. And so she's kind of going, right, how does this play out? But the truth is it played out great for her because the public are very good at just seeing the dynamic going, that didn't look cool. Two blokes on one side shouting at one woman on the other side. And they kind of ended up resolving to talk further, which I think was good for her. Martin Lewis, you know, that was really good for her sort of personal brand. But, you know, it hasn't translated into anything at this election. But like I say, you know, this is the weird thing about by-elections. People will extrapolate so much from this where, you know, a lot of it is kind of highly contextual on a really unique election at a unique time with unique demographics. So what happens next with Labour? You know, I mean, I just can't see how it could have been any worse for them, really. You know, one of the safest seats, they've held it for 100 years. The strategy was, we're the only ones that can keep reform out. It just, they'd have been better off with reform winning, is the truth of it, right? Because if reform win, they could go, look, this is what happens if you don't vote. Look, the reform are going to sneak in, and the division, and the divides, and the whatever I have to say. He's got nothing at the moment, Starmer, has he? You know, I did a post where I just did an image of a lettuce. And it is funny watching the people go into the Starmer bunker. It is one of the odder bunkers I've seen in British public life. I've seen the Liz bunker, the Boris bunker the weirdest Boris bunker was when he lost the leadership. Do you remember when he was on holiday? And then Liz lost it. And he flew back. He flew back while he still had like loads of accusations hanging over him. And he was like, blah, blah. I'm going to be leader again. Those people going, those Tory MPs going, yes, Boris. That was a weird bunker. But the Starmer bunker's weird. Because they're kind of going, well, maybe Kemi Badenoch's going to lose her job. Is that who the lettuce refers to, Jeff? No, it refers to Keir Starmer, who everyone thinks is going to get fucking fired soon. You know, Ed Miliband said that recently the Labour Party stared into the abyss when it came to Keir, you know, but they pulled back from the brink. Well, I think you better have a look at the window again, Ed, because the abyss is waiting for you. What do they do? I mean, it's just so weird. Ed Miliband, really? Really? Angela Rayner still hasn't resolved her tax affairs. Wes Streeting has had his wings clipped. Andy Burnham is up there. I mean, it is like the end of a series, isn't it? This feels like the end of like House of Games or something like that. House of Games? No. No. Oh, yeah, I haven't spoken about that at all. Anyway, I'll talk about that at the end. But what is it? House of Dragons. Fucking hell. Game of Thrones. Jesus Christ. Richard Osman's House of Dragons would be a very different show, wouldn't it? So, you know, it's all ended very badly for them. And I suppose if Starmer does stay in power, what's he going to do? What, are you going to lurch to the left, Keir? Is that what you're going to do? You know, but no one believes anything anymore because you already lurched to the left, didn't you? When you were part of Corbyn's team, when you won the leadership, then you went a bit to the middle, then you went a bit to the right, then you went back to the middle, then to the soft left. You can lurch to the left. It just doesn't, just the man who stands for anything, you know, stands for nothing, stands for anything. That's the point. That's why his backbenchers are pushing him around. That's why there'll probably be a U-turn on Chagos, the assisted dying bill, which was already a proxy Starmer bill. That's going to get kiboshed, you know. Student loans. This man does not have any authority over his party, and for the good of the country, I mean, God, I don't think there's a good alternative. It's just a really bad position for Keir Starmer to be in. Maybe he needs to go on air and say only Keir Starmer can be Prime Minister. Okay, is that a fair summary of Dubai? Let me know. I'm interested to know what you think. Do you think these are national trends that are going to play out, or is this a really isolated election with a specific demographic? Let me know. And yeah, I should have mentioned at the beginning that I've been on House of Games all week with Richard Osman's House of Games. It's such a fun show to record that, you know. I think Richard Osman said himself, you know, it all gets recorded on one day, which is incredible because he used to be like a TV producer. He sort of like edits it from the chair, like, and you know, and I'm sure he's got a team saying stuff as well. It's amazing. Like when you think some TV shows record for like 3 hours to get 28 minutes, this show records for like 31 minutes to get, there's no fat on it at all. And no spoiler alerts, but it was an interesting week for me. You know, there was a story going into it where, it was called Redemption Week, and I didn't win a single day last time and kept choking in the final round. And that did continue to a point, but you'll have to see for yourself whether or not I got the monkey off my back. I'll be back with it. I hope you have a great weekend. The politics is going to be interesting. Who fucking knows what's going to happen this week? Maybe it'll be another little Sunday special for Keir. Sunday special for Keir. Who's he going to sack this time? It's kind of like... He's kind of guy, like a guy that had, you know, walking into a shootout that had loads of bodies in front of him. And then suddenly he's like, oh, shit, all the bodies have gone. So I don't know. It would seem mad if he goes before the May election because it's almost like a football manager, you know, who won't come in, you know, unless they can have the... Well, I'm trying to make an analogy here, but the transfer window, right? You need to bring in a manager when they can actually make signings in the transfer window. So I don't think anyone will want it until the transfer window, which in a football sense will be after the May elections. But who knows? The guy is deeply unpopular. Anything could happen.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.